Red Blue Hoops is presented by German American Bank. From the banks of the Ohio River in Evansville, Indiana, this is Red Blue Hoops with fanatical red host Chad Payton and obsessive blue host Evan Beck.
Welcome, everyone, to the fifth season of the award-winning Red Blue Hoop Show here on your WNIN 88.3 and live streaming on WNIN.org. You can give us a call tonight as our phone lines are open, 812-426-7400, or you can tweet us at Red Blue Hoops. I am Evan Beck, your voice of the Kentucky Wildcats, the greatest college basketball program in history, and joining me again tonight as the voice for the declining Indiana Hoosier basketball program is Chad Payton. Chad, welcome back to tonight's show.
That's 2 weeks in a row you threw that greatest program stuff out.
Well, that's true. Statistically, it is true.
Oh, boy. Well, Evan, Walker, Maria, Mr. Berger, good evening from Evansville, Indiana. Tonight, it is about as cold out as Indiana basketball shooting from three-point range free throw shooting.
Nice.
How about that?
That's good. Well, actually, next Wednesday's going to be the coldest.
Is it? Okay.
0 degrees, supposedly.
Really?
Yeah, weather's up and down like a roller coaster right now in the region.
Classic Midwest.
It is. So a lot has happened since our last show. This is show 4 of season 5 of Red Blue Hoops. Again, you can call at 812-426-7400 or tweet
at Red Blue Hoops. Let's get the Twitter line going. Walker, our intern, is ready to go.
I am.
I agree. I think this season Walker has not been earning his pay because the Twitter feed has been low.
What was I doing last week?
I don't remember.
Okay. That's what I thought.
Do a little test, see if one of our regular listeners is out there tonight. Jim Gotze, see if he's out there tonight. He's been on Twitter quite a bit this week, hasn't he?
He has. He was tweeting today a little bit about different stuff.
So since last week, Kentucky has won 2 games, Indiana has lost 2 games. But I think, Chad, we were talking off air before the show started. I think the headlines right now is the state of college basketball referees.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, before the show, I read where Walter McCarty is suspended for a game because of things he talked about last night.
Yep.
And then that ties into, was that Tennessee and Vanderbilt? You could talk about that
sure.
A little bit. I mean, it's just been ongoing. It seems like every game there's something going on, and we talked about it last year.
Absolutely. It's getting worse. It had a significant impact on NFL championship
Absolutely.
Games last week. There were some dramatically bad calls in both NFL games. And then in college basketball, it continues to be a top story night in, night out. And last night was a prime example. And these refs are making calls that are having impacts on conference title runs.
Sure.
That impact seeding for March Madness. Tennessee Volunteers, ranked number one right now. Their last 2 games, last week they hosted Alabama, and they barely beat Alabama.
Questionable calls
some
in that game, right?
Questionable calls in that game. But then last night at Vanderbilt, winless in conference games, had Tennessee on the ropes, and there were 3 really bad calls last night, one of which was a flagrant call on a rebound play.
Yeah.
That led to a 4-point play for Tennessee. It cut the lead from 6 down to 2. They get in an overtime. Tennessee wins the game. So if you look forward, that potentially could propel Tennessee to an SEC conference title, which puts them in prime position to get the regional site in Louisville instead of Kentucky getting it. So the implications are huge when these refs are making these bad calls. I know there's been a lot in the Big Ten as well.
Yeah, I hear about that a lot. Funny story about that game last night. It popped up on Bleacher Report update. Tennessee was getting beat 76-70. I checked it off. I'm like, wow, Vanderbilt's got a nice victory here. And then I see later on Twitter that they won. So then I did investigate that flagrant foul that you were referencing. And folks, if you're out there, check that out on Twitter or online. But it was a crazy – I mean, there was nothing there. Now, the player, to your point, you said this off air, he flopped pretty well to set it up.
He accentuated the what people were seeing, what potentially could have been a flagrant situation, but it was a flop for sure.
Now, on that, did they go back and review that and just hold it?
No,
They called the foul.
Yeah, just the foul.
They go to the monitors.
So they didn't call a flagrant
No. Flagrants are converted. Most flagrants are converted at the monitor now as a collection of all three.
That makes sense. Okay.
So last week at Auburn, Kentucky is playing a huge game. Kentucky was ranked 12th at the time, Auburn 14th. Kentucky got to a 17-point lead. Bryce Brown got really hot from three-point line.
I saw that. I was watching
six out of seven. So Auburn was coming back. We still had a lead. Weak side player for Auburn gets the ball, goes in for a one-handed dunk. P.J. Washington turns on help side defense, goes up, makes a legitimate attempt to block the shot. P.J.'s hand catches the Auburn player's wrist, you know, right here. The guy falls.
He started rolling around, didn't he?
He did. Looked like a WWE like wrestling match.
Yeah.
They go to the monitors, flagrant one. And it was not a flagrant foul. So, I don't know. It's really frustrating that referees are having such a huge impact, not on just Kentucky, not on just Indiana.
The NFL.
But on a lot of teams, you know.
So, to that point, I guess, where I'm at on that, I used to complain a lot more than I do, but it's so bad consistently everywhere
right.
that I think it's probably evens itself out somehow. But
yeah.
Some of these are really painful, though.
Yeah, they are. There's no question about it. So, again, since last week's show, Chad, Kentucky went 2-0 with a huge win on the road at Auburn.
Biggest win of the year, would you say?
You think so, Walker? I would say so in regard to seeding.
Timing, yes.
Timing. Quadrant one win for
absolutely.
Us, which is big.
Yep.
Obviously, Bruce Pearl, Cal Perry have a long history. When Pearl was at Tennessee, Cal was at Memphis, big rivalry there. Before the game, obviously the arena was packed on the plains in Auburn. And right before tip-off, I don't know if you saw it, but Bruce Pearl was going up and down the sideline like a cheerleader.
No
getting
kidding.
Getting the crowd fired up. So the atmosphere was fantastic. We went on two big runs. End of the first half, start of the second half, got the 17-point lead. Again, Bryce Brown went nuts on us the second
six
half.
6-7 from threes.
Yeah.
Is he the one that's – he's short.
Very short.
Point guard.
Not very
right.
short, but
6'1".
Oh, okay. I was thinking he was even shorter than that. But, yeah, he's a pretty nice player. Streaky shooter, if I remember right.
A key moment in the first half. Fast break for Kentucky. Ashton Hagans is bringing the ball down the court. Keldon Johnson, our leading scorer, is on the left side ahead of Ashton Hagans. Ashton advances the ball to Keldon. Keldon's not looking. And on fast break, when you're ahead, what's the number one rule? Look at the ball.
Sure.
The ball zips past Keldon's head, out of bounds. Keldon turns toward Ashton Hagans, and Ashton Hagans says, wake the bleep up.
I saw that.
And for a freshman point guard to take the leadership against this team's leading scorer tells a lot, in my opinion, that this team's starting to mature.
That kid has grown a ton. And I mean, really – since Quade left,
he stepped it up,
and he's doing what Gil just did, right?
That's exactly right. Spot on.
We still need Brad, though.
No, we don't. I love Brad in street clothes. Bruce Pearl raved about
you say that every week. I love it.
Bruce Pearl raved about Kentucky's freshmen after the game. He said they've got good character, a will to win. Those kids are built like champions. Kentucky is better this year than last year, according to Bruce
Pearl. I saw that.
Which I was trying to convince you of during the offseason, Chad.
Yeah, but it didn't look that way early, right?
Cal Perry teams, you got to let them kind of like a big homemade loaf of bread. You got to let that rise a little bit through the season.
Makes sense.
First time in school history, Kentucky had two freshmen, Tyler Hero and Keldon Johnson, score at least 20 points in a road win against a top 15 team. Ashton Hagan, 6 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists, and 3 steals. The kid is just a baller right now.
Yes. So Hero, too. That's actually when I saw the end of the game. He got fouled and hit the game-winning free throws, basically, right?
Yep, and then quickly got fouled on the rebound. I mean, Auburn got a good look to take the lead.
They did. They sure did.
But to Ashton Hagan's credit, he forced that point guard to his weak side, so maybe that helped. So fast forward to Tuesday, we hosted Mississippi State. We won by 21. It's the first time all season that Mississippi State's been held to under 60 points, which points to our defense is really improving. It's Kentucky's largest margin of victory in a regular season game against a ranked SEC opponent since January 13th of 1998.
I wasn't born.
You were not born, Walker.
That's incredible.
I know.
That would have been Tubby Smith, his title team. right?
Yes, correct.
The comeback Cats.
Good one there, Chad.
How
I'm
about
impressed.
That? Know my UK history just a little bit.
Fewest points allowed in a regular season home game against a ranked SEC opponent since February 4th, 2001, when we hosted number one Florida and held Florida to 55 points that night. That was pretty impressive. PJ Washington is now leading the team in three-point shooting percentage at 41%.
No kidding.
He hit three that night against Mississippi State. Another good data
point. So let's talk about him real quick.
Yeah.
Continues that progress. Is he gone?
Or is
I don't know where he's at on boards.
He's projected first
the
round
PJ?
Right now. Yeah.
I would say 25th to 30th.
He's pretty nice player. He's There's been a... some games, too, where he's really active.
Yes.
And more than others.
But the bottom line that I'm seeing right now with Kentucky, Chad, is that our on the ball and our help defense have improved tremendously, which is allowing us to win the last five games in a row. So our team is now molding into a defensive unit that we thought we could be at the beginning of the season. It just took a little longer than what we thought. So
let's talk about my bet then. Is it still I think it's still going to be down the wire, and that's not a knock on Kentucky.
No,
it's just
we've
the way
lost
the
three.
Teams are.
We still have a tremendously tough schedule. We play all the top teams this year twice in the SEC. We're the only team that does that this year based on the flex scheduling. You want to go to the phone lines?
Let's do it.
All right. We'll go to our first caller. Shooter, welcome to Red Bull Hoops.
Bang.
Go ahead.
Hey, good evening. Evan and Walker, you guys got your popcorn. I hope you're ready for this.
I love popcorn.
Shooter's rant.
Shooter's rant.
What's up, Shooter?
Not much, man. Do you know what government employees' paycheck and Indiana's offense have in common?
What's that, Shooter?
Non-existent.
Oh, my gosh.
They don't have one. That's the first thing. And
okay.
I know you guys are going to go to break here, so I want to make it quick.
Please
like,
do.
I have to, Evan, I thought I would never say this last year. Romeo Langford is soft. He is soft.
No.
And, you know, Archie Miller's, Chad, you and Wayne can say he's not and all this other stuff. Everybody's like, I don't want him to go. I don't want him to go. I hope he goes to the NBA. Indiana couldn't hit water if they jumped out of a boat right now. They can't hit a free throw. They can't hit a three. They're missing bunnies by the basket. We've got Juwan Morgan guarding seven-footers like we think he's Shaquille O'Neal. I don't understand why we don't play Clifton Moore. I'm starting a new propaganda tour of more for more. I mean, if we're going to get beat, let's go ahead and get beat and at least have a center out there.
Well, I agree with that.
It drives me crazy. And then the pack line defense, our defense is better. We're only scoring 51, 55, and 62 points in the last three games. Your pack line defense, you're giving up threes like it's going out of style. We've lost five games in a row. This is Indiana basketball. This season started out with so much promise, with a win over Marquette, with a win over Louisville. We were competitive at Michigan. Everybody gets beat by Duke, gets blown out by Duke. I understand that. But, Chad, this is not a tournament team. You look at the schedule coming up here.
I know.
Michigan, Rutgers, Iowa. We're not getting in the tourney for the third year, and this is going to be embarrassing. What do you do when you say Northwestern and Nebraska are better than Indiana basketball? You got to look at Fred Glass, and everybody's like, next year, Shooter, next year.
Shooter, well, take a breath, bro.
Next year, I'm pissed. I'm sick and tired of losing to Purdue.
And we don't need to go into the Bobby Knight rant on national radio here.
I kept it PG for you.
Hey, Shooter, I do admire your passion. I get it.
Yep.
I do.
That's right. That's fair.
It's ridiculous. You have two of the best players in the Big Ten, and you mean to tell me we can't get anybody to contribute off the bench? I mean, I see why Devontae Green's smoking. He can't get a shot. I mean,
wow.
Here's another thing before I go, guys. You have to think about it.
Yeah, everybody's we just got like, a few seconds
year,
here, bro.
Give Archie Miller time. You got maybe Keon Brooks coming in, Trace Jackson Davis, Amar Franklin. None of them are an outside threat. None of them. So where is the shooting going to come from?
That's true. I agree with you on that.
That's Shooter's rant for the night. I hope you guys enjoyed that. And I'll be listening. I just want to tell you guys I appreciate
it. Hey, I'll comment on some of that stuff here in a minute.
I'll tell you, Indiana's terrible. Goodbye.
That could be one of the best calls we've ever had.
Wow.
Seriously, Shooter was lighting it up.
He didn't breathe there for a minute. I thought he was going to pass out.
That was equitable to Dan Dockich.
Very similar.
Yeah.
That's fair. Yeah.
Wow. Okay, let's go back to the phone line since we're hot after Shooter's call. Let's go back to Kim. Kim, welcome back to Red Blue Hoops. Go ahead.
Hey, how's it going?
Mom, how are you doing tonight?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm all right. We got something for us?
It's been a long week.
Yeah, it has, unfortunately.
I just wonder what kind of game plan you think they'll come up with for tomorrow.
Ooh, Michigan at home, right?
Well, yeah. So, I mean, we got to have some motivation at home to win a big game. And unfortunately, I don't know what to expect. I did a Twitter poll last night, and I said, will Indiana beat Michigan on Friday? Did we lose them? That's all right. So, on to the Michigan game, though, the Twitter poll last night, 20 people voted, and 18 people said no. So, not that that means everything, but I think what folks are seeing with IU right now is not – it's a couple things, but the scariest thing is effort and just the game plan. And, you know, some of that's on the kids, but I think a lot of that's on Archie. And I've been a big fan of Archie the whole way. I've been all in. But, man, I am really turned off right now. There's things I just see that I just don't like. And at this point, you know, I don't know when we win our next game. I don't know. I wouldn't bet anything right now. You got Michigan at home.
But now Michigan's in a slump in regard to scoring.
54 and 59 points the past two
You made
games.
A good point on that.
Yeah, so
that's
I think
fair.
There's a wrinkle of opportunity there for you
there
guys.
There is. And then you go at Rutgers.
Yep.
Which you don't. You know, whatever, it's a road game. IU hasn't played well on the road. They're not playing
they
well
at
all
right
now.
They lost at Rutgers last year, did they not?
No, we beat them at Rutgers. We lost to them in the tournament.
The Big Ten, yeah.
The Big Ten tournament. Yep. So, and then at Michigan State. So it doesn't get any easier. Folks, if you listened last week, Don Fisher said there's a potential for Indiana to lose 8 games in a row. And man, I hope not, because Twitter will probably explode in this area.
I think what I saw, I was looking at your schedule last night maybe, but you do have like 6 of your last 9 at home?
6 of the last 8, I think.
8, okay.
Yeah, very manageable, but you can't have a winning streak until you win one.
Yeah, I know. I was just saying, though, it does help.
So we need to win a game. We just need to win a game.
Real quick, I think we've got Kim back on the line. Kim, do you have any other comments for Chad, Walker, or myself?
You three always do a great time on the show, but it's just not much as fun for Chad this week.
Yeah, that's all right. I like hanging out with Evan and Walker and Mr. Berger
right.
and Maria, so it's all good.
That's right. Well, I was just wondering about what's his name?
Well, she's got a lifeline to Dad here.
Romeo. How's he going to play, or how's he going to shoot when he gets in the NBA if he can't shoot?
Well,
I mean, he's just too talented of a player. I mean, he does a lot of other things well. He's a classic NBA guy. And these guys get so much better shooting the ball after a couple of years. He's still only 19 years
exactly,
old.
Exactly. Exactly. So, his body's not even fully mature yet.
Exactly right. So
that's
some
not
of the,
an issue.
I'm in Evan's camp on this. Romeo's gone. He just is. He's too good of a player. And it's a bummer. I mean, we just want to get more out of him as IU fans, and we don't feel like we are right now.
Right.
So I think that's leading some people to, oh, he should come back. But it's not going to happen.
All right, Kim, thank you for the call. We greatly appreciate it.
I was going to say also, Hamidou Diallo, over the summer last year, going into his first season this season, I mean, his shot has improved so much.
And he's playing.
Who does he? Yeah.
Oklahoma City.
No kidding.
There's a kid that, you know.
I liked him. He was athletic, man.
Super freak athlete. Yeah. All right, folks. Segment one's down. We're going to go to break. We'll be right back with Red Blue Hoops. Go Big Blue.
Go Hoosiers.
Red Blue Hoops is presented by German American Wealth Advisors. German American Wealth Advisors help accumulate and grow the wealth of individuals, families, and businesses with a mutual relationship based on trust and respect. Learn more at GermanAmerican.com.
All right, basketball fans, welcome back to Red Blue Hoops. This is Show 4, Season 5, live streaming on WNIN.org. We're on 88.3 FM. You can call us at 812-426-7400 or tweet.
At Red Blue Hoops. Walker, you probably got – oh, Evan.
Go ahead. No, I'm Evan Beck, your voice of the Kentucky Wildcats. We have Chad Payton, voice for the Indiana Hoosiers.
Hello.
And the intern, Walker Beck, is rocking the Murray State Racers sweatshirt tonight. Not just because he's going there in the fall, because they have a huge, huge game tonight hosting Belmont, which is their rival in the OVC now.
Okay, yeah.
It's on ESPNU.
The U.
There's 30-plus NBA scouts.
Including Danny Ainge from the Boston Celtics.
In attendance tonight.
Tell them about Jordan.
The Charlotte Hornets Jordan brand airplane flew into Paducah earlier today.
Big night in Murray, Kentucky, I promise you. The bank, I think, is sold out.
Sold out. First time since 2012 when they played St. Mary's.
And let me tell this John Morant, again, this is close enough to our hearts to talk about in Red Bull.
Sure,
this
absolutely.
Kid, if the season finished tonight, he would be fourth all-time highest assist average per game at almost 11. Last week, his averages were 35.5 points, like 11 assists.
In five freakish plays a game. I mean, the guy's insane.
And
he went 21 for 21 from the free throw line.
Yep. On last week's College Game Day, they actually had a segment showing Zion Williamson and Ja Morant which one's going to be the better draft pick. I mean, that's not me talking or Walker. That's ESPN talking about that. And I'm telling you, folks, he's in the top three right now projected on the draft.
What time is that game tip?
8 o'clock, ESPNU. So
all right, I'll have
everybody
to catch that because I have
in.
Not seen him play. And on him real quick, you guys were telling me about him, and I thought he was just a scorer. And I pull up his stats online. Like one game, I think 26 points, 18 assists.
Yes.
I'm like, are you kidding me? What freak, man.
I know.
And I read an article this week about whoever wrote the article did a lot of research with Murray State's coaching staff talking about how he actually calls plays on the court during the game that the coaches are amazed as a sophomore that he can see the court that well as a sophomore and then also make an adjustment within a shot clock, okay, where he'll invert a 4 and a 5 man on a play and that'll lead to an open alley-oop dunk. So his court vision is uncanny.
When I saw him, it made me think of Malik Monk.
Athletically.
But they have kind of same
and
body.
They do that back rocker dunk.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But obviously he's a better handle with the with the ball, I guess. Wow.
This season we're talking about teams that have played Kentucky, what they do the game after that. Did you notice Auburn followed suit again? They lost the game after Kentucky at South Carolina.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Start tracking that. It's just insane. A couple Kentucky players that are on next year's recruiting list, Tyrese Maxey and Khalil Whitney were named to the McDonald's All-American game today. Congratulations to those two guys.
And Dante Allen, but he will not be able to play.
Dante Allen from Pendleton County, Kentucky, who was averaging about, I don't know, 40 points a game this year. Season-ending knee injury, but he was also listed as a McDonald's All-American, so that's great news for those guys. So real quick, Chad, before we go back to the phone lines, we discussed a matrix the last couple of years that we did some background work in KenPom.
Yeah.
I was curious, going back to 2002 when KenPom started, what do national champions look like? And we quickly found out that there is no question some data that shows you have to be ranked in the top 20 both offensively and defensively to win a national championship. There's only been one outlier. That was the Connecticut Huskies in either 11 or 14 that did not meet that matrix. So this year, there's only five teams currently that meet that matrix. Those teams are Virginia, Duke, Michigan State, North Carolina, and the Kentucky Wildcats, which surprised me. But they are climbing the KenPom rankings right now. So how do you feel about those five teams? How would you rank those teams in regard to a national championship favorite? Virginia, Duke, Michigan State, North Carolina, or Kentucky? Duke, if they're healthy, probably.
I would say, yeah.
If Trey Jones comes back, which he's expected to.
I'll tell you what, if Kentucky pulls a win against Kansas, and you know what, it's at Rupp. They should, really.
Yep.
But that's a big seed game for them. I was telling you that off the air.
Huge seed game.
They win that game, and they make a run and continue playing well. I mean, I can't believe it. Good for you guys. I mean, I'll admit it. I just didn't see it this year early,
right,
which I think for good reason. I think you guys were in agreement there for a while. Like you said, Cal's teams always
– they rise.
Can't bet against him.
Now, there's four teams that are knocking on that matrix door. That would be Tennessee, Michigan, Wisconsin, which is a surprise.
That is, yeah.
Their offense is 28th, their defense is 9th, and then Kansas is at 27-10. So, anyway – kind of an interesting matrix for our listeners out there. If you want to follow KenPom.com, you can look on there very quickly. It has the offensive and defensive efficiency numbers. If your favorite team is ranked in the top 20 in both of those categories, you have a legitimate chance of winning a national championship this year.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
All right, I got a tweet from Tom Slade.
Okay, Tom Slade.
He He saw Coach McCarty is going to have to sit out a game for his remarks about officiating. Of course, he watched a Tennessee game, and he's not sure how he understands the rules anymore about basketball. He goes, I know the officials are independent contractors, but where do we go from here?
Great question. That was something we touched on in our first segment. I mean, they are independent contractors. They don't work for any individual conferences. I had some texts last night from some friends that were confused about that. But they do not have a governing body. And some of these guys, I mean, they all have regular careers.
Yep.
Some of these guys are getting up in their years, and they're doing as many as 6 games a week with travel. So
there's a lot of them cross sports, too.
Yes, they do.
Football, basketball.
But there's no question that the quality of college basketball officiating is declining.
No question.
Yep.
And I don't know what the answer is.
I don't know.
There needs to be some kind of governing body is the answer to hold these guys accountable.
Here's my suggestion. We all know what the cash cow of the NCAA is, right? Since they're not going to pay the players enough, as they should, take some of that cash, and why don't we have the refs actually work for the NCAA and create some sort of governing committee that can at least address some of these glaring issues that lead to major problems and these bad calls. There's no repercussions. I mean, the refs never have to answer to the media after a game.
No,
like the
crazy
coaches. And they'll put a freshman up there on the stand.
Yeah,
talk
after
to the media.
Turn the ball over in
a
big game.
But the refs, they go back to the shower room, get the burger and the beer, and they go home or go to the next game.
That's a good point.
We better jump back on the lines. I think we'll go back to Wayne. Welcome to Red Blue Hoops. Go ahead, Wayne.
Hey, Chad, I know you're probably having a difficult time sitting there tonight, but
everybody's giving me some sentiments here.
I'll probably go with what you said. I'm probably going to rant just for a minute here. I mean, Indiana's just fell apart. I know you and I have talked about that, but I don't see, like you said, there's not any game on this schedule that I can see that I can even feel comfortable that we're going to win at this point. It's going to be a brutal rest of the year, and, you know, I'll probably have to tip my hat to Evan. I think we'll probably have slipped to a mid-major.
Oh, don't say it. I wasn't going to bring that up.
Jimmy Wayne said that, too.
Now it's on live radio, dude.
Hey, Wayne, before we went on the air tonight, I was telling Chad that I've been nice. I've been playing nice this year. I had not even brought that up yet, so thanks for bringing that up. I appreciate it.
Hey, I thought I'd just go ahead and say, hey, let me ask you this, Evan. This is probably good, you know, something for you to think about. How much effect do you think social media has been on the officiating over the last several years?
In regard to, the scrutiny?
Just the calls that are made, because the calls that are made are so blatantly bad. I think there's some biased things that go on in how they make those calls.
Well, I think it's a great question. We were talking about it earlier today at the office, and I was talking about how maybe social media is escalating the awareness of all the bad calls, because like me, I'm at home watching the game. If I see a bad call, I'm going to videotape it and I'll tweet it out.
Excuse me.
So I would think that hopefully social media would help scrutinize the refs and put more pressure in the NCAA to maybe make a change. So I'm hopeful that there's improvement in the future because of that.
Yeah, I'm hopeful too, but boy, it seems like it's going the other direction, that's for sure.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Awful. It's awful. The flagrant one against Vanderbilt last night was absolutely awful.
Oh, it was. It was atrocious.
Yep.
There's no doubt. Well, all right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Chad,
Wayne.
Man, I'm sorry, man.
Hey, man. Thanks for calling and for the support, man. Appreciate it, bro.
May start hearing the song Taps in the background for Chad tonight. Dun, dun. So I'll tell you what, folks. We do want to mention that we are back on Facebook Live this week.
On
WNIN. On WNIN's Facebook page. You can catch us there live. Still don't know how well the Facebook Live viewers can hear the phone calls. We're still working on that as we go along and learn more about this, but we're trying our best to broaden our social media presence for Red Blue Hoops.
And we have not just a face for radio, but a face for TV,
I guess
too.
So.
Look at that. I mean, we got
and there's
a,
hoops right
that's
there.
Right.
We have
Kentucky,
comments that
baby.
We are good on the calls.
I'll tell you what, we're going to go back to the phone lines, and I think someone that's competing for the potential lunch winner, if you win your bet, this is Alan in Birdseye. Alan, welcome back to Red Blue Hoops. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Well, Evan, I'm going to give you your golden opportunity here to tell me what a dumb yeah that I was for saying Tennessee is going home and he's going to prove why he left Lafayette and we're going to win.
Well, I think
that didn't work out so well for me, did it?
No, it didn't. What I saw in that game, Alan, was good scouting of Purdue's coaching staff's part. They packed it in, and what that does, it shuts down some of the driving lanes that Romeo's been benefiting from earlier this year, and you guys are not shooting well right now from the outside, nor hitting free throws, so that's kind of the blueprint to beat the Indiana Hoosiers right now.
Hey, Alan.
Yes.
Hey, question, though. On Fennessy, I still didn't think he was all the way healthy, but the other night I felt like he might be back. Did you see that dunk against Northwestern?
Yeah.
I seen it, and I've got it cropped, and I'm going to put it on my wall.
Oh, my gosh.
That's awesome.
I like it.
I like it, too.
Did you guys realize that Purdue's in the top 10 in KenPom right now with 6 losses?
That's amazing.
Let's see. I got their stats right here. They are 6 in the offense and 56 in defense.
But that's amazing. In the top 10 with 6 losses. How about that?
Yeah.
Now, one thing I do want to point out on Romeo, and I'm not trying to take up for Romeo. He's hit a rough stretch here. There's no doubt about it. I think a lot of that has to do with the coaches and, you know, their – preparing, you know, their guys for these games, and you know they're
100%
just figuring him out a little bit.
I agree with that.
If you didn't catch it against Northwestern, they were taping up his right hand now. He's had some issues on the left with the wrist, and now they were taping up the right thumb. So of course, to me, there is a huge disadvantage for him with that being his true shooting hand.
Hey, I told Evan that off the air. I was wondering how healthy Romeo truly is. I think he's been playing through a lot, and I know he's hit a little bit of a rough patch, but he's had a heck of a freshman year so far. He's a nice player.
And you know, the other thing is, you know, I get so aggravated on these different IU sites because if they're not beating up Archie, they're beating up Romeo. And then they'll finally go off and they'll say, well, it's Morgan's fault because he's not taking charge like he should. He should be outspoken. Well, that's just not him. He's not that kid.
That is an issue. Don Fisher said that last week.
Right, exactly. But, you know, back to the Romeo thing, you know, no matter how good you are in high school, you're at a whole nother level when you come into college.
Yep.
And then you go to an SEC team, you go to a Big Ten team, you go to an ACC team. You're stepping up 3 and 4 levels of what you were used to. And, you know, I fully still believe that the kid is absolutely good enough to be, you know, right there on the double-doubles every night, every game. But I really think that he has taken a good beating this year, so to speak, from, you know, all of his moves to the basket, going in amongst the trees and stuff. And I think that, you know, it's sort of a reality check to him in some ways. I think he's still an awesome kid. Great morals, great values. He's out there practicing and he's working hard at it. But, you know, everyone can have a down day. And in this sport, you know, you may hit a slump for 2 or 3 weeks. Unfortunately, the whole team's hit it for a month now.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
You know, the thing is, I can't sit here and say I see that game on the horizon where we're going to get things turned around.
Yeah.
But, you know, I do think, in all honesty, if we give Archie a couple of years to truly get all of his types of players in here, I think we'll be fine.
What type of player
is that? I can't say right now that, you know, we're not looking at things as a – I've seen it today as it being called a dumpster fire at the moment.
Yeah, the wheels have flew off.
Yeah.
You know, it happens, and we've all seen it before. They've seen it in Lexington before. You just pick up and you keep trudging along, and you do what you can do to get yourself put back together.
Hey, you just drink. You drink more IPAs.
Well, you know, I tried to keep that off the air this week because I thought last week I probably really
no.
Nah, it was all
that's
good.
Fine.
Anything like that on air?
No. You're fine, Alan. We would have told
like
you.
We like keep it real.
Yeah. We like it real with our callers.
All I can tell you is then in the last two boys. There's been over a case went down. not each game. It's not been that bad yet.
But, all right.
And you know, the bad thing is, really and truly, against Northwestern the other night in that first half, I thought, you know, we don't look perfect. We're not, you know, totally in sync. But I thought, I really thought when we were up by 6 or 7, I thought, you know, we're going to pull through. We're going to work this out tonight.
Yeah.
Well, once again, dummy me.
Well, hang in there, man. Thanks for calling, Alan. Every week, we really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Alan. Really appreciate it. All right, folks, we're going to go to our last break of the night. We'll be right back with more Red Blue Hoops here on WNIN. Go Big Blue.
Go Hoosiers.
Red Blue Hoops is presented by German American Bank. German American Bank offers checking accounts to help manage everyday life with mobile banking, mobile bill pay, mobile check deposit, and mobile pay people. Learn more at germanamerican.com. Support for Red Blue Hoops also comes from Evansville Teachers Federal Credit Union, offering vertical checking plus ATM reimbursement. Evansville Teachers Federal Credit Union. Everything we do for you.
Okay, basketball fans, welcome back to Red Blue Hoops here on WNIN 88.3, live streaming WNIN.org, and also on Facebook Live again tonight.
WNIN Facebook.
WNIN Facebook.
What's up, peeps?
Live. Yeah, it's been interesting. Deuces. I see some, my eyes aren't that good anymore, but I'm seeing some comments on Facebook Live from
there's a lot Tim, lots of comments tonight.
Is that Tim Leach?
Tim Lozick, shooter.
That shooter.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. Kim Payton. I saw Doug Bell from German American Bank earlier talking about Racer Nation.
Okay.
Our friends at German American Bank, thanks again this year for being our sponsor.
Yes,
and Chad's rocking the German American Bank Red Blue Hoops logo wear.
Yeah.
If you want some Red Blue Hoops logo wear, get a hold of Chad Payton. He'll hook you up.
That's right. I can do that.
So before we go back to the phone lines, Jim Godsey has tweeted in tonight. He's active on Red Blue Hoops Twitter. He reminded me to discuss something that's an excellent segue off of our last call from Alan and Birdseye. A lot of Romeo Langford talk with the Indiana Hoosier fans, and we've already discussed this several times this season, Chad. There's a hope that he comes back, but that's just not reality in today's college basketball landscape. Again, folks, Romeo Langford is having a historic season for the Indiana Hoosiers, whether he's a freshman or not. But because he is a freshman, it makes it even more historic. In Big Ten play, I think he's the second all-time leading scorer as a freshman behind Glenn Big Dog Robinson of Purdue.
I wonder if that's still that way.
It may have fallen.
But still, he was right
he's still
there
top three.
Just last week, right?
And yes, and someone, I think Shooter earlier tonight, called him soft. Romeo's not soft. At one point in time, he was shooting 78%. At the rim against a lot of defense. He's going to go to the NBA. He's currently projected on the 24/7 draft, number 6 to the Cavaliers. So last week at the Aces game, I ran into John Lamb of German American Bank.
Okay.
And John Lamb mentioned that he had procured a bet the night before with one of our good friends and Indiana graduate, Pete Mogavero. Pete's made a bet that Romeo was definitely coming back to Indiana for a sophomore and maybe junior season.
He said
it's going to take him at least 2 years to become an average Big Ten player. Now, this is your fan base talking, okay? So after I learned about this bet, I hit up old Pete. I call him Pete Mogavero. I said, Pimo, can I get some of this action? He said, absolutely. So we ended up betting $100 plus dinner and drinks that I say Romeo goes to the draft this year. So what would you take on that bet, Chad?
I would like to get in that with you.
I know.
And wishful thinking on IU fans' part.
Yep.
And they feel, some of them feel, or some of us feel like
they're not getting all of Romeo like out of him. But
right.
I mean, and I get that.
Sure.
But the kid's a stud. I mean, he's a five-star guy. His what he can bring to the table, he's long, he's athletic. Yeah, his shooting, there's a knock on his three-point shooting, and that's there. There's no denying sure. that.
But the NBA, but they know they can fix it.
Jason Kidd couldn't shoot the ball at all. I think he's the all-time leading three-point shooter in history, or he's hit a bunch of them. So
that's exactly right. No question about it. Well, anyway, so we'll keep track of that bet as we go out of the season into the combine and the draft. So we'll have to keep an eye on that and keep everybody updated via Twitter.
Did I tell you about my Romeo bet?
You did not.
I'll just throw this out there. Scott Schreffler.
You know, yeah.
Scott,
oh, yeah.
So we got to talking. I'm putting myself on the spot here, but I saw him at Hornets Nest the day that Romeo Langford declared to IU.
Did I tell you this? This is a good bet.
So he said, oh, Langford will average 15 or 16 points a game. And I said, Scott, he's going to average 20 points a game. So we bet like $50 or $75 or something. So right now he's at 18, so he needs to pick it up a little bit.
In his last couple of games, the defenses are compressing on him
they
a little
are.
Bit, which happens in conference play. Coaches start figuring things out.
Yeah.
They know you.
Things start compressing.
Except for Archie.
Well, maybe, yeah. Let's go back to the phone lines, folks. I think this is a first-time caller. Dakota, welcome to Red Blue Hoops. Go ahead.
Oh, he went off, he said. He's
okay, Dakota's
back.
Gone. Let's go back to the phone lines. I think this is a regular caller. Sophie, go ahead.
Hi.
Hey.
How are you tonight?
Doing fantastic, Sophie. Much better now that we have you on the line.
All right.
There we go. All right. So, Indiana has not won a game since January 3rd against Illinois at home. And now we've lost 5 games in a row. So back in November, we saw a motivated IU team play against a ranked Marquette and beat them by 23 points.
Yep.
So you'd think after losing 3 games, Archie would say some things behind the scenes or have some tough workouts and practices and be kind of harsh on all the boys. And that would kind of motivate them to pull out a win at the next game. And that obviously has not worked. So at this point, what else can he do to motivate them and get them more energetic about going out there and winning?
Sophie, that's a great question. Unfortunately, I don't think Archie has the answers. I think we watched the team, and IU fans are the most frustrated because of the effort. The players have to give the effort. Now, the coaching staff has to motivate these guys to an extent and also set them up to succeed. And I think on both ends there, they're struggling. I don't think Archie has great answers for what other teams are doing to us. They're making us shoot outside shots. We're 7 for 43 in the last 3 games.
Wow. From 3?
From 3-point land.
Brutal.
We've had a ton of injuries. You referenced that Marquette game, and we'll talk about that real quick. The team was fully staffed, including guys like Zach McRoberts was healthy, and he was hitting shots that game. Evan Fitzner was hitting shots that game. We were all-time confident, and unfortunately, we've lost all that. And without a vocal leader on the court, Romeo's not that guy. Jawan Morgan's not that guy.
He needs to be, though.
But he's not the guy.
I know, but he should
be. You need to have somebody. Yeah. Correct. We just don't have a leader on the court. I think Rob Finnessy's the future of IU. I like him a lot. I don't know. Well, hey, real quick, what would be your answer? What needs to happen?
Ooh, good. Ooh, I like this, Sophie. Let's hear what your opinion is here.
I don't know. I don't know what else he can do. I think just seeing them fall from those ranks should have been motivation enough.
100% agree.
I don't know. I don't know what else there is to do.
I'm with you. My buddy Wayne that calls in, he said it's just become a disaster, and it's, I don't know. I can't echo that enough. It's what's happened.
Sophie, do you plan on watching the Michigan at Indiana game tomorrow night?
You know, I will watch it, and I will decide if I will continue watching it once I see that game start.
That's a fair question or a fair point. I'm going to probably do the same thing.
It's not worth the frustration anymore.
Oh, boy.
Man, her and I are in the same situation. I 100% agree. Yeah.
Anything else tonight, Sophie?
That is all.
Well, hey, great call, and we really appreciate you calling in. You have a good night.
Thanks for calling.
I mean, this is just me personally, but today in our lunch basketball game.
Yes.
I hit 5 threes, so I think they should add me.
Do you ever go to class?
Yeah, what's going on out there?
So we eat lunch so quickly that we can play a nice 30-minute basketball game.
Yeah, but I, like, text you at, like, 1:30, or I'll text you
I get off. I get out at 1:45.
Wow. Good gracious. This is crazy.
I think I even told you a few times, go back to school. But you are Mr. Castle, so it doesn't
matter. So we're seeing Indiana's three-point shooting on the decline, and guess whose three-point shooting is on the rise?
Kentucky.
What? So tell me about it. What's the stats on it?
That's typically how a Calipari's team operates, is their shooting improves as the season goes along. And you remember last year, you already touched on it. I mean, Gilgeous Alexander was not a good shooter at the beginning of the season. By the end of the season, he was a really good shooter. He's having a good NBA rookie season. And right now we're seeing, like I mentioned previously, P.J. Washington is leading the team in three-point shooting at 41% at a power forward position. That's a huge weapon for us. Hero's now getting hot.
Which he's water finds his level. He's a good player.
Emmanuel Quickly is a good shooter.
Is he? Is he getting some shots?
He's like second on the team in three-point shooting. Keldon Johnson can hit threes.
So what about the kid off the bench?
Baker. He was sick. He was sick against Mississippi State. Didn't play in the second half. But he could, so all of a sudden, you know, Calipari was getting a lot of grief from our fan base because he said this was going to be his best three-point shooting team. He's coached at Kentucky. And we weren't early. But now all of a sudden, things are going to pan out that we're a dangerous team. And, Chad, we're holding our SEC opponents to 63 points per game, which is – tremendous. Our defense is improving so much. Our offense is getting more comfortable. We're becoming a dangerous basketball team, in my opinion, if we can maintain this type of play. So exciting times in Lexington.
Yeah, you guys are playing well. I can't reiterate that enough.
And we're looking forward to it. We do, if you want to touch on some upcoming games, Kentucky's hosting Kansas this Saturday in Rupp Arena. ESPN announced they will have College Game Day in Lexington on Saturday, so it's going to be a really fun time. Walker and I have the opportunity to go up there to catch that game. It's a 5 p.m. tip on ESPN, so it's the premier game of the weekend. And I think Kansas is currently ranked in
the top 10 matchup.
AP poll, yes.
AP, yes, but KenPom, Kentucky 12th. Is 9th, and Kansas 12th. Is 12th, so it's a really good matchup.
Their defense, though, is ranked 10th.
Yeah, Kansas, even though they lost their big man Azubuike to a season-ending injury, their defense is still playing pretty
Dedrick Lawson, I think he took like 20 shots against Iowa State Monday night.
Wow.
He's a pretty good player.
He's good, but
did they win that game?
Yes, barely, by 4.
Kansas did?
Yes.
My wife's watched Kansas somehow a couple times without me, and she said they're not very good, so we'll see. Remember I told you that last week?
It was on one of the shows she was talking about.
Yeah, she pointed that out.
I think it'll be a good battle in Rupp Arena, a good test for us. And like you mentioned earlier in the show, a good opportunity for us to get another Quadrant 1 win. Mm-hmm. And for our listeners, Quadrant 1 is where you get your good seeding statistics for when March Madness comes out. So, again, we are on Red Blue Hoops here on WNIN. You can give us a call at 426-7400. We have a few minutes left. Walker?
So Dakota actually tweeted us in, Chad.
All right.
And he goes, with Purdue's 6 losses, do you think they can still be a tournament contender, either the Big Ten or March Madness? Also, can IU beat Purdue in B-Town?
Well, I can.
I'm saying yes on both of those.
I think they can definitely make the tournament.
Absolutely.
Again, they're top 10 in KenPom right now.
Yes.
With 6 losses.
Well, and they got Carson Edwards. And
they get 27 last night against Ohio State or so.
Yeah, he's a stud.
And he's playing.
He's a guy that actually, they make the tournament, could get on a run and.
What's Purdue's offensive efficiency in KenPom?
It's like 6.
Wow.
56 defense.
That's so impressive.
Yeah, I think they'll get in the tournament, but I don't know. Indiana's going to win some games. They're going to start playing better. Hopefully. And I do think they get Purdue in B-Town. So yes.
Was it Alan from Bird's Eye that said Archie's going to get his type of player? So let me challenge you. What is the Archie type of player?
Well,
I mean, it's not been defined in Indiana yet.
Yeah, you think about Archie. He's 5'9". He was a point guard for North Carolina State. I mean, he was a small kid, hard-nosed. He made all-conference, I think, his senior year. So you would think that he's going to get guys, hard-working guys, kind of like Bob Knight. They're kind of similar in that aspect. Unfortunately, it has not resonated with the guys at IU, because I even go back to last year, and that's what bothers me so much about this, effort losses. You would think you would get – at least at minimum, Archie's going to get that out of his players.
Right.
That's what he's going to bring to the table immediately.
I expected that out of of his teams.
And you go back to Indiana State last year, Purdue, Fort Wayne, Nebraska this year. I mean, it's been horrible, and I don't think he's got great support. Last year his assistants were great. I said they all were. I'm wrong on that. Those guys are not very good.
Not according to Dockich.
He's right.
Wow. Man, he ripped him.
He
said his wife could outcoach Archie.
He did.
Wow. Hey, real quick, back to Ashton Hagans. This kid, I'm still trying to figure out, Chad, one of my Kentucky friends from Madisonville, I think, earlier this season, one of my friends, I'm almost certain, said Ashton Hagans was a bust. And I've been sending out texts trying to flush whoever this was out.
You said that earlier in the year.
Can't figure it out. But, man, this kid has turned into an absolute stud, and he's the, he's kind of the engine that's running our deal right now. But he was added to the Naismith Defensive Player of the Year watch list this past week. He's one of only two freshmen on that list. The other one's Zion Williamson, which I found interesting. I didn't know he was so good at defense. But here's a little trivia question for you and Walker. Maria and Berger can play as well if you would so choose. So, Ashton Hagans is the fourth freshman in Kentucky basketball history to have at least 9 assists against a ranked opponent. Who were the other three freshmen in Kentucky history to achieve at least 9 assists against a ranked opponent?
Tyler Ulis.
Kyle Macy.
John Wall.
Yes.
I don't know.
Brandon
Danisle, I don't know.
No, John Wall, Marcus Teague, De'Aaron Fox. So Ashton Hagans is a pretty rarefied air there.
Company, yeah.
So back to our upcoming games. I mentioned Kansas is Saturday. We are at Vanderbilt next Tuesday, 8 o'clock in ESPN. And now Vanderbilt is winless in conference play.
Nerds.
But as we saw, hey, your Uncle Lance will not like hearing that because he got his graduate degree from Vanderbilt.
Anchor's away.
If you were to allow me to give my top five most hated fan bases, Vanderbilt's on my top five, and my brother cannot stand when I say that.
Plus, you hate that court,
dude.
Right?
Their anchor.
I played on that court, and I hate it.
At the football stadium, was just like it was so annoying.
Yeah.
But anyway, Vanderbilt, even though they're winless in the conference, they showed last night they can't compete with our conference's top team. They actually, really, in my mind, they beat Tennessee last night without the refs helping Tennessee. But so we've got Kansas at Vanderbilt, and we thought Vanderbilt was going to be an easy game. Not so much. Anything can happen in Memorial Coliseum down there, Chad. It's a crazy place to play.
Well, so we play at Michigan tomorrow night.
Home.
And then we play at Rutgers midweek, I believe. And I guess I'm just going to say what I always do. We're going to go 2-0. So how about that?
Eternal optimist, Chad Payton.
Eternal optimist. Eventually, I'm going to be right.
Maybe. Wow. Indiana's leaking a lot of oil right now.
They are.
And again, I mentioned off the air, I just don't get it. There's segments in the game, they have a lot of energy and emotion and awareness, and then there's segments where they literally look like they're the walking dead.
We said, it's like a roller coaster. Like Indiana's
and Archie looks frustrated on the sidelines.
He doesn't have any answers, man.
Well, folks, this is going to wrap up our fourth show of the season. We really appreciate all of our listeners out there, our callers. We had tweet traffic, our Facebook Live traffic. Greatly appreciated. We'll be back next week for more Red Blue Hoops. Go Big Blue.
Go Hoosiers.
Adios.
Go Racers.
Support for Red Blue Hoops comes from Evansville Teachers Federal Credit Union, offering vertical checking plus ATM reimbursement. Evansville Teachers Federal Credit Union. Everything we do for you. Red Blue Hoops is a production of WNIN Tri-State Public Media. The executive producer is Brad Kimmel. Steve Berger is the producer. Maria Thomas is the technical director. The opinions in this show do not necessarily reflect the views of the WNIN staff or board of directors, or for that matter, Purdue fans, Evansville fans, USI fans, Louisville fans, and certainly not Duke fans.